Hello again, this is Ryan Waller, developer on the Immersive Reader team, back with you for video number 4 on the advanced C# sample for integration of the Immersive Reader SDK. And so, if you've been with us before, video number 1 was about kind of an intro of the Immersive Reader, where SDK and docs live. Number 2 is how to configure Active Directory authentication, which is what you see when you open this advanced C# sample. The readme.txt, the first thing it tells you to do is go here and follow the directions to create an Immersive Reader resource with custom subdomain and configure Azure Active Directory. So that's covered in a separate video. And then we walk through the quick start, kind of simple C# sample. And now we're going to walk through the advanced one, which touches on a lot of advanced concepts. So here we have done step 1 already. We have, and step 3, we've went and taken that information for the Active Directory authentication. We manage user secrets here, which opened the secrets.json, plugged that information in, and launched the site. So let's walk through the site now. When you run this, this is what you see. So it has several different pages in this sample. So first is sections, and this just shows how to put multiple Immersive Reader buttons in different sections of your site to just immersify different sections of text. So here we have a geography section, and this just shows the geography text, a water section, text on water and mountain ranges. So we'll look at how that's set up in just a second. Then we have just a simple document. It's kind of like the simple, the quick start C# sample, just a regular document. This time it has an Immersive Reader button that has the Immersive Reader icon asset, which is part of the Immersive Reader SDK assets directory. So this is the button we would encourage you to use to style the Immersive Reader consistently out there in the ecosystem. Third page here is a multilingual document. So this one has a few different languages on it and creates different chunks of text in that chunks array we talked about in the last video. We'll take a look at that in a second. So that when you play this back, it plays with the correct voice for each language. So here we can take a quick listen. This might be a little loud. Okay, then we'll start on this. Spanish and I think German next. Okay, so that's multilingual documents. Then a UI language. This, again, different sections, but if you want to open the water section in Spanish, the way this is coded by default. So now we see that the Immersive Reader UI is localized in Spanish with Spanish labels, menus, tooltips, etc. Play button, tooltips, this. Okay, everything about the UI localized. This one, German, show you how to do that. Now we have German labels, menus, tooltips, okay. And in fact, it could be anything you want. By default, this is English, but I'm just going to just change it to Greek, ELGR, launch the reader in Greek. And here we have Greek, menus, labels, tooltips. Okay, so that's how to localize the Immersive Reader UI to match your site language. And then finally, an example on math and how some of this math markup works and passed in as a chunk when calling the SDK. And the reader has full support for math. So if you send math content, math ML, in the content, we'll take a look at that example, then the reader will be able to read it properly. Okay, so let's dive into a few of these pages. I think we'll start with the sections page. I think this is the one. Title. Immersive Reader example. So I think this is the sections one. So the first thing we see here then is an inclusion of the Immersive Reader SDK script, loading the with the script tag, loading it from our CDN version 002, our latest version. This one is using something called a canary, which is used, this canary is used kind of as a authentication, if you will, like a basic authentication. If this page has a, so our server, when this page is loaded from the server in the sample, it sets a canary value on the page and remembers that canary value on the server side. So that when a call is made to get the token, the canary is passed back on that call to the server, and the server validates that that canary value is the same as it had set on this page when it was loaded. So it's kind of a crude validation to demonstrate the canary concept, a crude implementation, I'll say. As to demonstrate the concept of using a canary for authentication for the server to trust a subsequent call from the client web page, knowing that it was the page that it created that is making the call back to it. And that is done largely for this token, get token endpoint, that gets the AAD token, because that token uses a client secret, a password, that should be kept secret on the server, never exposed in client code anywhere. And calls should be made back to your server to obtain that token where the secret is kept. And you need the ability to protect calls to that endpoint to only authorized callers. Otherwise, anyone could call an endpoint on your server and obtain an access token on behalf of you and your organization, and then just use that token to call, you know, an Immersive Reader resource. So that's the idea with the token. You don't want to just give these away for free. You need some way to secure that endpoint to keep unauthorized callers from calling it and using your service, basically, that you're paying for, your Immersive Reader Azure service that will ultimately cost money, keep unauthorized people from using it and racking up charges on your bill. So that's kind of what the canary concept was here that we see. But then as we get more kind of into the page here, we have this content area. We have three sections of text. This section, sample one, has a div that has title one and text one. Here we have a section, sample two, that has title two and text two. And then section sample three, which has title three and text three. And then the Immersive Reader button. Let's just find it real quick in case I missed it. Oh, handle launch Immersive Reader. So on click of the first button in the first section, it passes this parameter one, two, or three to this function, so it knows what section it needs to obtain the text for. So then two things always need to happen when you click an Immersive Reader button. You need to format the text and you need to get a token. So here the first step, formatting the text into this data structure with a title, looking at title one, title two, title three named element to get the text, and also content text one, two, or three depending on the sample. So it gets the right text for the right section. Then it calls the get Immersive Reader token async with the canary this time for this sample to go fetch the token. So that is actually defined in helpers. Let's see, where is that? Please help me find this. Get Immersive Reader token async. Okay, it's in underscore JS. It is in samples, advanced C#, www root. So no wonder, didn't see it right away, but under here, JS helpers. Okay. So here we have this helpers, this these kind of helper methods defined in a separate file, helpers.js. But get immersive reader token async makes a server side call to the API token endpoint. Post this time, posting the canary in the body of the message and to obtain the token, which is validated server side when that call is made. So here we see a look, we see the token endpoint implemented, and here it retrieves the canary value and authenticates it. So read the canary out of the body, validate it, basic validation, make sure it's not empty or null, then call canary.validate, which remembers, uses the stored value from when it was created to validate that the canary is allowed. And then finally, once it passes those checks, it calls get token async, which looks very much like it did in the simple or the quick start sample. Basically just calling Active Directory to obtain the token and returning the access token bit property of the authentication result. But then that makes the server-side call to get the token, and we just choose to make a server-side call to get the subdomain because it was easier, just more clear to keep all those things from the configuration loaded by this one class and managed by this one class. So we just added a subdomain endpoint to return the subdomain as well. And yeah, with the token and the document content formatted correctly in the structure and the token and the subdomain, you can just call the immersive reader launch async method. So that is the sample or the sections page. So now let's look at the simple document. Okay, again, the simple document, include the SDK at the top, uses the canary like before. It has a single content area. Here it's, I think, the important thing to note, works the same as the other samples, but it has the immersive reader button class defined with icon and text type. And these are described in the SDK reference docs. If we walk back to that, reference, SDK reference in the docs.microsoft.com, these SDK button types. So you can use these different attributes to customize how the button looks, and here are those descriptions. Okay. Back to the sample. So when that button's clicked, handle launch immersive reader, which does those two things. It grabs the title and content, forming it into this data structure. It gets a token and also the subdomain and calls the API, launch async API. Okay, then we have the multi-lang document. So again, very similar pattern, include the SDK version 0.0.2 at the top using the canary. This one has multiple different sections defined for different languages of the document. So here we have immersive reader text, a paragraph of text that's in default English language. This should probably be ENUS. Immersive reader text 1, and again English, but then we have a Spanish section, a French section, a German section. So then on click of the button. So again, this button is defined as icon and text type, so that shows the actual icon image of the little book icon. You can take another look at that. So if we went back to multilingual document and we see it's an icon and image, so it has the icon and text. So icon and text. Okay, handle launch immersive reader. So in this case, handle launch immersive reader just gets all of these chunks. We know in this document we have five different chunks. And so for each chunk, we set its chunk text. which we got the text out of the chunk, and then we get the attribute immersive reader language off the chunk language for each of those five items, and basically create a new chunk with its own language, and push that chunk into the array for each of those five chunks. So in this one, there's five, two of them are English, three are different languages. And then we format the data into this data structure, which is our title and our chunks array. We get the token and subdomain and call the API. Okay, next we'll look at the UI languages one. And just take another quick look at UI languages. That had these three sections. This one took a custom language. This one was hard-coded to Spanish. This one's hard-coded to German. So again, include the SDK up the top using the canary. Here, the content area has a heading, a paragraph, and different sections. So section sample one with title one, text one. So again, just like we had in the section documents, we handle launch immersive reader with the section number parameter, and it knows which section to grab the title and text from. So this one has a language Spanish. This one is defaulted to value English. The first one's English, but you can set any one that you want to this input lang one. For the second section, lang two, it's just set as Spanish. On this section, lang three, it's just set as German. So when handle launch immersive reader is called on the button click, it passes the sample ID, and then it knows to grab the right title with ID and the right text with ID. It does that for English, and then it does the individual one that you... Oh, sorry. It does that, setting that to English. All those... this one's about localization of the UI. So all of the text itself is English. But then to configure the UI language of the reader, that is set in the options, the reader options. So the UI language is obtained for the given sample by looking at lang, the element lang 1, 2, or 3. And then it takes that UI language value and sets it to the UI language option property in the options JSON. So it's formatted the text into a data structure. This time it's configured options to set the UI language value to localize the UI, and then it gets a token in the subdomain and can call the launch async API. So the final document we'll look at is math. So again, back to the math page. Kind of what our math page looks like. Include the SDK, use of the canary again. Here we have some examples. That's the top heading, math document. Okay, so here we use MathML. We have a section class section. It is a text area, which is immersive reader math 0 ID. So this is our first example, IR math 0, which has this math ML to describe the math. And this would be something that you would be responsible for as the web developer, to format any math equations in your content as math ML. But in this example, we've kind of just hard-coded that math ML, so it's somewhat trivial. But the first math block is in IR math 0, the second one's IR math 1, and the third section of math ML is IR math 2. And then we have an immersive reader display math. We had a single element to display math over here, which would show all three in one document, single button. So on that one, it calls handle launch immersive reader. And this one just knows it needs to populate three different chunks of math for the three different equations. So it just has a for loop over each of those three sections, grabbing the math content, the MathML content, out of each respective section 0, 1, or 2. And pushes a chunk into the chunks array for each of those math content sections, setting language as English, but MIME type in this case as application MathML plus XML. So this is the first time we've seen any use of anything other than text plane. This is the only other supported MIME type we have at the moment is MathML XML. And so then it pushes an additional chunk, kind of as a new line character between those math equations, so the layout looks better on the reader. So that was step one, format the data into this data structure with a chunks array of three math equations and three separate chunks, and then format the data into a title and chunks, familiar layout we've seen. Get a token, get the subdomain, and call the API. Okay, so that pretty much wraps up the discussion around all the concepts in the advanced sample. As you see, we have text plane MIME type supported and math, and that is what we have currently, but we are also working on some HTML formatting and an HTML type of object, which is coming soon. No promises on time frame, but it is something we are using in our first-party solutions for Outlook and Teams. Outlook Web Access Consumer and O365 is using some HTML formatting, which is going to give us a lot of basic formatting like bold, italics, underlined, bulleted and numbered lists, and things of that nature, coming soon to the immersive reader. So although all we have now is text plane and math markup, we do have formatting coming soon, so stay tuned for that. Hope you enjoyed this series of videos. Thanks for watching. It was my pleasure. Reach out with any questions. Reach out to our team or on the GitHub SDK with any questions or issues you might have. Thanks again.